The reading this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 19 through to 36. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Israel's refusal to enter the land. Then we set out from Horeb and went through all the great and terrifying wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving to us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you came near me and said, let us send men before us that they may explore the land for us and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up and the cities into which we shall come. The thing seemed good to me, and I took 12 men from you, one man from each tribe. And they turned and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. And they took in their hands some of the fruit of the land and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. Yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And besides, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will give himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet, in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents, in fire by night and in the cloud by day, to show you by what way you should go. And the Lord heard your words and was angered, and he swore, not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his children I will give the land which he has trodden, because he wholly followed the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Yeah. I wonder if you can turn to that passage that Reese read to us a little bit earlier from Deuteronomy. We're in this series called Life's Too Short. Hopefully that will come up on the screen in a moment. And this morning, have we got a G? There you go. And this morning we're looking at Life's Too Short to Play It Safe. Life's too short to play it safe. And I don't know about the rest of you. Some of you might be adventure seekers. We have a son who seems to be an adventure seeker. He went up to New Zealand, and he deliberately didn't tell his mum and dad that he would be jumping out of a plane. He would be jumping off rocks and swimming with sharks. And after lunch, he did something else. That's the kind of boy that he is. But for many of us, We're not quite like that. We're not like the man from the... Do you remember the old milk tray adverts? Who would swim through shark-infested seas and whatever. It almost seems to be drilled into us from a young age that we have to be careful and to be safe and to and whatever. And so, can we show the next slide, please, Dee? I love this slide. And it's of a tortoise, and so often I relate to that tortoise. Afraid to stick my neck out, just in case there might be something around the corner. I wonder if anybody else here can relate to that. I know that we want to have an image of a roaring lion, and that's what we are, but so often we can relate more to that. Would you agree? I came across this, and I hope you can see it. It just made me smile. There's a picture of a lady up there with the children. Into the house, children, there's a gentle breeze brewing. What do we instill in our children? Because our children pick up so many vibes from us. Would you agree? Have a look at this. It says, in an article I read, it says, youngsters are growing up in a paranoid... Sorry, middle-class children... Sorry, read started the wrong place. Middle-class children are at risk of anxiety disorders because parents shelter them from the harsh reality of life. And it goes on to say, youngsters are growing up in a paranoid culture which protects them from risk, but they're unable to cope with life's challenges, warns leading psychologists. And that psychologist went on to say, Professor Tanya Byron says she is treating an increasing number of children with anxiety disorders who lack emotional resilience. And then says this, the warning comes as NHS figures reveal rising numbers of children are suffering keyboard strain, but tree climbing injuries are plummeting. It's a snapshot of society, and it'd be interesting over coffee if you would agree with that analysis. At New Wine, a conference that many of you will have gone to for a day, if not camped there, an African pastor said this, said, Christians in the West have made safe a God at whose shrine they worship. And forgive me, but I love that cartoon of having to really armor up as they face a little bunny rabbit. Christians in the West have made safe a God at whose shrine they worship. And I think he's probably right. That we are naturally like to operate in the safe zone or the comfort zone. And then he challenged us in that talk to find places in Scripture where we are encouraged to play it safe. And so I looked and I couldn't find many references to playing it safe. And in the passage that Rhys read to us earlier, the Israelites, who had been enslaved for more than 400 years, were given the green light by God to move forward and enter into their inheritance. You can just picture it. I'm not sure if Charlton Heston was in one of those films, but I like to picture Charlton Heston in these kind of things. And there it is. We're going to move forward. And as you know, the people wouldn't budge. So what went wrong? They decided to play it safe. Have a look at verse 22 with me. Then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we're to take and the towns we will come to. Why did they do this? Because they failed to take God at his word. Anybody relate to that? Where we know that God has said something to us, but actually we want to put out a fleece, we want to do some other checking, and we won't budge until we've actually got it in triplicate. In verse 21, it was very clear, the instruction from God. Verse 21, it says, see, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go. But of course, they chose to send out 12 people to go out and look over the land. And I've written down here something I came across a number of years ago, that they were focusing more on the task ahead of them than the power behind them. They were focusing far more on the task ahead of them rather than the power behind them. In verse 28, it says, "Where can we go? Our brothers have made us lose heart. The people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large, with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there." The Anakites were giants. Can I just say something as your pastor? Moses received the instruction to move forward. He told the people to move forward. The people come back to him and they say, no, we can't move forward. It's the best thing to do is just check out the land first. And Moses gives into that. And sometimes as pastors you make mistakes. And Moses shouldn't have listened to the people. He should have said at that point that actually God has spoken, we need to move forward. And please hear this, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but I say to our deacons, I say to our elders, it's important that we listen to one another. Of course it is, but it's far more important that we listen to God. And when we come together in the church meeting, it's not an opportunity for all of us to have our say. In the best sense, the church meeting, as we understand it within the Baptist understanding of church meetings, is that we try to discern the mind of Christ together. Would you agree? And what would have been discerned very clearly from this was that God said, move forward. And they had a meeting and decided that they weren't going to do it. I want to suggest to you that perhaps Moses chose the wrong people. It says in verse 23, "The idea seemed good to me, so I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe. But as we know, because you'll know the passage really well, only Joshua and Caleb trusted God. The other 10 saw the problems. They didn't see the God who could overcome the problems. And as a result of that, the people walked around in a wilderness for 40 years. My brothers and sisters, as we try to listen to the voice of God, we have to ask ourselves, are we going to shrink back and play it safe? Or are we going to dare to listen to the Almighty God who wants to do remarkable things through this church for this community? What do we want to do? So what was the fruit of playing it safe? Well, they got good at digging graves. For 40 years, all they did was dig graves and walk around in circles. Only Joshua and Caleb tasted of the inheritance that was rightly theirs. I've got another little picture coming up. I love this character, don't you? And what does it say? There's a fine line between taking a calculated risk and doing something dumb, as Felix has got his finger at the top of the gun. But I'm going to say to you, as your pastor this morning, there is nothing dumb in listening and obeying the voice of God. God said to these people, I have a promised land just waiting for you. Move. And the people wouldn't budge. What is God saying to you that is requiring movement? See, you can never get into the promises of God by being stationary. We have to move. There are loads of examples, and I love the way the psalm started our worship today by reminding us of the great things that God did. There's nothing done in holding a stick over a sea because God told Moses to hold a stick over the sea. There was nothing done about walking around a city for 7 days. And on the seventh day to blow horns. There is nothing done in actually saying to a depleted army, well, more of you go away and actually only be left with 300. Because God had told Gideon to actually reduce the size of the army so that God's glory could be seen. There was nothing done in facing a seasoned warrior with a sling and a stone. And there was nothing done when Peter got out of the boat and walked towards Jesus. God often calls us to do ridiculous things that seem dumb. It's called a life of faith. And I was sharing with the leaders yesterday, thank you for your prayers for us as a leadership team. We had a blessed day yesterday. We really sense God's presence with us as we listen to his voice for the current but also the future of this church. So thank you. But I was sharing with them that I have a good friend, Sue and I have a good friend, who has changed the wording from Isaiah chapter 6. Do you know that one where Isaiah meets God in the temple and he utters those words, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Do you know the passage? So she's changed that to say, "Here I am, Lord, send them." Just send them. Don't send me. Anybody here relate to that? God couldn't use me, could he? So what's he saying to us as a church this morning? I think he's saying the same thing as he said to the people. I want you to move forward in verse 21. Here's the verse, and I believe this is what the Lord is saying to us. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Just take the land. Who, me? My faith is so little, Dave. Yes, you. Because remember, it's not the size of your faith, it's who you put your faith in. And we have a wonderful Savior who can do remarkable things. If you want to hear from the lips of Jesus himself, in Matthew 28, this was the commission that Jesus gave the disciples, and by extension to us as his disciples now. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven as on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Anybody here want to go? What does the going mean? It means the going onto your front lines where God has placed you for a time such as this, for you to be the fragrance of Jesus there. It's very unlikely that they will pick up God's word and read it, but we are the word of God there. And God is saying, wherever you've been placed at the moment, I want you to be available to be used by me right there. And when we're available, it's amazing what God can do through us. I've shared this with you before, but when Sue and I first came to this church, we felt as if we'd stepped into a scene from The Wizard of Oz. And I wonder if you can remember that part of the film. I haven't seen it for some little while now, but Dorothy and her friends, as you know, they were on their way to see the wizard, and they got distracted by this beautiful poppy field. And it was an enchanted field, and as Dorothy and her friends went off the path that God had called them onto, they actually started falling asleep. And one of the things that we sensed here, and forgive us if this sounds harsh, but actually we just felt spiritually there was so much passivity. And so many seemed asleep, but not all. And we've met so many of you who've been crying out to God that actually we would rise up again and be a church where the gospel is at the center of everything we are, that we would be spirit-filled people, and that we would dare to believe that God wants to use us for now. Well, as you know, Dorothy was pulled out of that field and actually got back on the path. And the prayer for each of us is that we would make sure that we're back on that path, going where God has called us to go. And so as I finish this morning, before we go into communion, I felt the Lord lay some questions onto my heart, and I share them with you. What are we doing to intentionally lead others to Christ? Dave, what are you doing to intentionally lead others to Christ? Can we name 5 people who we are regularly praying for? I mean, praying for their salvation. I don't know if you do this with kids, but often with our grandchildren, whatever, you don't shake their hands. You just say, give me five, and they give you five. And they love to make your fingers tingle. Have you noticed that? And I love it as well. But I just wonder if we could just use the same thing about saying to God, God, give me five people who are not in your kingdom at the minute. Just give me five, Lord. Give me five people who are not in your kingdom at the moment. When's the last time I expected God to do something miraculous through me? When was the last time I expected God to do something miraculous through me? We can understand why he could use this person or that person because they're so much more righteous than we are. But actually, God wants to use each of us. How about this one? What am I attempting right now that would be a disaster unless God shows up? What am I attempting right now that would be a disaster unless God shows up? My last one. Where in my list of priorities does God feature? I've said, I think, to you before that our problem isn't that we love God. We do love God. You wouldn't be here this morning, I suspect, if you didn't love God. Our problem is that we love many gods. And the really big question is, where does God fit within that list of gods? I appreciate this is really challenging and it's soul searching, but it has to be. See, because God does not want us to stand still. God wants us to move forward because there is a world here and he's chosen the church and only the church to be that instrument of actually bringing people to Christ. And if we don't wake up, if we don't get pulled out of that enchanted field and actually get back on that path of realizing our mission, our commission is to go and actually lead people to Jesus. God doesn't have a plan B. And so in a moment, we're going to be coming to the communion table. And my fellow elder, Dave Meadows, is going to lead us in that. And can I just pray for myself, for Sue, but for each of us, as we come to the communion table, we would just reflect again in terms of where we are with God. And may we just offer up to him again these lives that he's given us. And just say, Lord, use us. Use me in any way that you want. Help me to not play it safe. Shall we pray? Father, thank you that you have called us to an adventure. You know, Lord, that by nature we like to play it safe. We like comfort zones. But Lord, you've called us to a life of faith. That dares to believe that you can do all things. Nothing is impossible for you. Help us to live increasingly with that mindset. Where we just say to you, Lord, here I am. Use me. Take me. Lead me and guide me. For your name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
So, shall we just share the grace together then, as we close? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.